Okay, it's recording.
All right. All right, all right, all right. Cue the horses.
Your knights are in another castle. All your base are belong to us. It's dangerous to go alone. Listen to this. The Knights of the Game Table Podcast.
This is the Knights of the Game Table Podcast. Yay! That's right. I'm going to keep editing in all of those cheers until Daniel starts cheering on his own.
Yay!
I am your host, Marcus, and on this episode, we're going to be discussing basically the new games that have been coming out in the month of March and what we anticipate, and also our feelings on microtransactions again. So thank you, Daniel, for joining me. How's it going, man?
It's going well. How about yourself?
I am doing fan freaking tastic.
Fan freaking tastic.
That's right.
So there's one thing I wanted to talk to you about. About a day or two ago, I was browsing the interwebs and I stumbled across a mod that's coming out by this. It's not a third-party group, but it's a fan mod. Have you ever played the original Knights of the Old Republic?
I have not.
Okay. Well, if you've ever seen the original Knights of the Old Republic, it came out originally it came out on the original Xbox, and you know, it's dated graphics. You know, it looks as good as it could look on the Xbox, and I think they've released it on Steam since then.
Right.
But this group is modifying the game and creating a new mod, and they're basically building it from the ground up using the Unreal 4 engine, and it looks amazing.
Wow. That's
pretty awesome. I about lost myself when I saw that. I was like, oh.
That actually, because that reminds me, I've seen, I don't know if you've ever seen the... there's a lot of people making Nintendo games with the Unreal 4 engine.
Yeah, I saw like the Zelda and the Mario one.
Yeah.
Yeah. But this game looks epic. There's no release date on it. The website, if you want to check it out, is aperiongame.com. It's aperiongame.com. And yeah, they have like screenshots of the game. It's they're titling the mod Star Wars Knights of the Old Republic Aperion, and it just looks
so. This is something amazing. That's actually going to be released. Like, this is going to be available to us.
Yes.
Yeah, because I know like the Nintendo stuff that was actually just kind of like people playing around, and that's not actually going to be released to anybody.
No, not at all. But this is they're trying to get it cranked out, and they're asking for fans to come help them with the development of the game. And they're trying to get it out, but yeah, it looks amazing.
Awesome. That is pretty legit. Another thing that comes to mind is, I think it was with Grand Theft Auto 4 that, I can't remember what it was called. It was like Winter or some Frosty. I can't remember the name of the mod. Anyway, there was like some mod that came out that made the game freaking beautiful. So, I mean, like, you still launched up, you know, Grand Theft Auto 4, and then when you played it, though, it just looked beautiful. Which is really funny, because now when I go back and I play Grand Theft Auto 4, it looks like crap compared to GTA 5. But when Grand Theft Auto 4 was out, it was almost like a benchmarking game for me. Mm-hmm. So, it was pretty crazy.
Yeah, I mean, this is... That Unreal 4 engine just does some amazing things, and I can't wait to see, you know, some more games being released with it.
I don't know if there's been any games, like, officially released under Unreal 4 engine. I can't think of any, at least.
Probably not. I know this mod right here. Ugh.
That good, huh?
Well, one of the things that they're doing is they're also giving you the ability, because the game is a third-person type RPG. You look behind the character's shoulder and you play that way. Right. They're also giving you a first-person mode in the game. So I was impressed.
That kind of makes me wonder if they're going to be coming out with a new Gears of War. with the Unreal 4 engine. That would be kind of cool.
That would be awesome.
Or maybe even a new Unreal tournament. Unreal tournament was so much fun. I used to waste so much time on Unreal tournament.
Yeah, that was definitely a time waster. Just staying up late at night shooting people.
Like, literally, it was definitely one of those games, kind of like Halo, where it was just multiplayer purposes. There was nothing else there. Which actually is kind of funny, because, you know, they're coming out with all these games that only do multiplayer and there's no campaign. And I think if there was a game that was going to do that, I would expect Halo to do it, you know?
Yeah. Halo, though, you know, it's known for its single player campaigns.
It's true. They do have an extremely strong story.
But yeah, I mean, it's definitely people, once they get done with the story, that's all they do, is they live in the multiplayer world.
Yeah, it's like probably maybe a year after that game comes out, it's like, there's a story? There's a campaign in Halo?
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
I mean, then again, to be fair, I was actually playing... the Xbox I got came with the Master Chief Collection, so I was playing through the first one the other day. I want to see about playing the whole way through all of them, because I never played the fourth one. So,
I think I stopped after part two.
Yeah, Halo 3 I haven't played the third for me.
Yeah, I haven't played 3 or 4.
So,
what do we got in upcoming releases, man?
I kind of wanted to talk about what's already been released. We're 4 days into March, and we've gotten some of our releases toward the end of February and of course the beginning of the month already. One I wanted to really talk about, because I'm completely on the fence of whether I'm going to buy it or not, is Street Fighter V.
Go out and buy it.
So from what I've heard, though, Street Fighter V is actually easy to pick up, because I read that Street Fighter IV was not easy to pick up. It was very difficult to play, and that was kind of the reason why I was like, you know what? Mortal Kombat X is out and other stuff. It's not exactly difficult to start playing. So what do you think? How has Street Fighter V treated you?
Street Fighter V... it's a good game. I'm enjoying it. I haven't played much of it yet. I did get it on day one. I played through a couple of the stories. Now, the story mode on that game, I don't know if you've ever played a Street Fighter game, but their story modes usually consist of a story at the beginning, you fight 8 characters or maybe 4 characters, and then there's like a midpoint in the story where they tell you something else in the story, and then you fight 4 more characters, and then you get to the boss, and then you see the ending. Well, the story mode so far in this game seems to be, it's one big giant continuous story, and it only lasts, you only fight, like I fought Ken's mission first, because Ken's like my favorite character, and Ken's with his wife, and they're going to this dinner party so he can meet some of the new world fighters, and while he's at the dinner party, he gets stopped by this guy, Birdie, basically, and you fight Birdie one round, beat Birdie up, then the story continues, and then you fight 2 other characters, and then his story's over with. You're done.
So, is there any character that goes by, like, the regular amount of characters that you fight, or... I mean, was there even a boss battle for Ken?
No. You fought this female at the end, and that was it. I was like... And he was like, Ryu, one day I'll get you. And it was like...
Wow.
Where the hell is the story? So, I don't know if there's more later. Like, I don't know if I have to beat everybody's mid-stories first, and then it unlocks more. I don't know.
Have you played anybody else, or just Ken?
I played Ken, and I played Chun-Li, and Chun-Li's story is,
also short?
Again, just a short.
Wow.
So, that was one thing, I don't know if you have to play all the characters to see an entire story, and then it unlocks more, I don't know yet.
Right.
But that part right there, if that's it, that was one thing that kind of disappointed me. I mean, who plays Street Fighter for the story?
That's true. Yeah, I mean...
I do.
So how was the actual gameplay, like the fighting? Is it difficult or what?
No, the fighting reminds me a little bit of Street Fighter IV, but it seems like they dumbed it down.
Okay.
So it seems like anybody could pick up the controller and throw a Hadouken and, you know, unlock a freaking 40-hit combo with no problem. So the game does seem easy in that, and I actually heard and read that people actually were complaining that the game was just way too easy in that aspect.
That kind of makes me wonder if it's just like people who started playing Street Fighter V from Street Fighter IV, or if, like, I wonder if any new players were also having that same complaint.
I'm sure new players probably aren't, you know, new players jumping onto the franchise, but I mean, someone that's actually played Street Fighter ever since its inception,
yeah,
like I've played every iteration of Street Fighter. It has its ups and its downs, but this game, it's just probably, it's just kind of a meh. It looks pretty.
So, so is it too easy to you or what?
So far, yeah, it does seem pretty easy. But like I said, I haven't spent a lot of time in it yet, and I haven't fought anybody else online. That's one thing. I haven't. The very first thing I noticed when you bought the game was there was a day one update.
Right, like most games.
So I didn't do the day one update. So because I didn't do the day one update,
you can't play online.
My online features were locked
out.
Oh,
so. Did you get? Oh, wait, never mind, never mind. I was about to say, did you get on the Xbox One? It took forever.
No, fortunately, it's a PS4 exclusive.
And look at that. You can play the game without installing the update. I told you.
So, yeah.
Pop the disc and you start playing.
Yeah, so I didn't do the day one update. And the day one update's like 5 gigs.
Oh, wow. That's kind of
it
wild.
It may have installed by now. I don't know. I haven't checked it.
Leave it in rest mode and just install for you while you're not playing it.
Yeah, my system's been in rest mode, so I'm pretty sure it's installed.
Nice. So, I mean, I've got to ask now, PS4 or Xbox One?
I'm still on the fence.
We're getting there. We got you on the fence now.
I mean, I like both systems. Both systems have their perks to me. I love the Xbox controller. And I know you hate it.
Yep. Well, to be fair, I loved the 360 controller.
I love the Xbox interface. Although, they have been making some tweaks to it, and I'm kind of like, stop! But you know, other than that, you know, the backwards compatibility on the Xbox is a huge selling point to me because I have a huge 360 library. And so far, about maybe 30% of my games can be played on the Xbox One. So, and they're adding more every day. So that's exciting to me. But the PlayStation 4, you know, they have Street Fighter, which is the game I've been waiting for and been wanting ever since it was announced. It has some good games. It's not a bad system. I mean, it's pretty much turned into my, you know, I used to use my Xbox for my DVD player and my media player and all that stuff to watch YouTube and stuff, but now I've been pretty much doing all that on the PlayStation, because one thing I do like about the PlayStation is if you're watching a YouTube video and you just turn your system off and you come back later, it picks up right where it left off.
Yeah, it actually puts it like in a saved state that it resumes in. It's pretty sweet.
Yeah, so the Xbox does not do that. So that's kind of one of the reasons why I like that little feature. But yeah, I mean, I'm kind of just halfway in between the two systems. I mean, each system has its own perks that I like.
I mean, of course, everybody already knows that I am a PlayStation fan. I mean, I have both consoles.
What?
I have both consoles, but I still prefer my PlayStation. But definitely.
I have both consoles, and I still prefer my Wii.
One of the best selling points for the Xbox One is the fact that the games with gold, the free games you get with the Xbox Live subscription, is fan freaking tastic. So yeah. I mean, not only do you get a set amount of like 2 or 3 games per month given away for free for the Xbox One, but they also give away a different set of games for the 360, which you can also claim online via the website and then install them on your Xbox One if it's compatible. That is huge. That's pretty awesome.
Yeah, so it's like you're getting 4 games a month, pretty much.
Yeah, it's pretty sweet. So, I mean, it's like, let's just say you don't have a whole lot of money and you're trying to decide which console you want. I actually might say that you should probably get an Xbox One if you have decent internet connection. And
don't mind waiting to install your games.
Yeah, just get some free games that way. So, but yeah. So a game that finally came out, I've been talking about it for the past year, is Black Desert.
Black Desert.
I actually wrote an article about it back when I was writing articles. roughly a year ago.
You heard it here first.
Yeah, exactly.
Easter Egg articles.
I just officially don't. I mean, there's nothing else I can... I can't... Yeah. Anyway, so...
it's not a Thuma.
It's really great. It's different, for sure. The game that I can most easily compare it to is WoW, because I played WoW a lot, and it's, I feel like if anybody who's played an MMO at some point in their lives, they've tried WoW at least. So, comparing to WoW, the way the battle system is, you know, like in WoW, you have to press like the 1 through 0 keys to be able to use your abilities and all that fun stuff. Mm-hmm. Well, in Black Desert, and I don't know if this is the way it is for every character, and actually, I think it might not be, but Black Desert was officially released on the 2nd of March, I think, or the 3rd. I think it's the 2nd, though. It became available to me on February 28th because I got the Conqueror's Package, air quotes. And I've tried it out.
That's like the big, like you donated a bunch of money and you got that package, right?
Yeah, I paid an additional set amount of money, $100. And
what?
And I got some other stuff, some other free things with it, like a mount and some other shit. But so anyway, it became available to me on February 28th. But I created an archer, which is a ranger in that game, and you have to use, you don't have to, but you got to use combos. So you have to combinate your abilities to be able to effectively take down your enemies. So, instead of using like 1 through 0 keys, like you normally do, like in WoW or mostly a lot of other MMOs, you have combinations of actions. So your left and your right click on your mouse can do different actions, and using those in combination with WASD will give you a different type of action. And so putting those all together into a 5-hit combination makes this like pretty legit hit sequence that comes together. And if you have not seen the gameplay for Black Desert, I invite you to check it out. It is pretty sweet. Like, it just looks amazing. Like, not only is the graphics like pretty appealing, like the way that the grass kind of reacts to the way you're moving around the battlefield and swinging your weapons and all this fun stuff, but just the way it looks, like it really makes it look like all of the abilities that you use are just super intense and you look like this total badass. It's pretty sweet.
Awesome.
So
now, when is this game going to be officially released?
It was officially released on March 2nd.
Okay, so it has officially come out, so people can actually go and buy the game and play it now.
Yes, yes. This is publicly available in North America now, because it did had to migrate its way over here, because it started in South Korea, and then moved its way into Russia, and then now it's in the Western market. So it's I definitely... want to say that, hey, you should definitely check this game out, because one of the main problems most people have with MMOs in general is that they have this they have a monthly subscription, right? So mm-hmm. It's like you have to decide whether should I pay this amount of money because I'm not really going to have time to play it and all this stuff, and so that's where it gets kind of like, should I really do this? And I'm letting you know right now, it's worth it, because you don't have a monthly subscription fee.
Mind blown.
Right? Seriously. So it plays just like, what's it called? Guild Wars. Guild Wars is a one-time purchase, and then you just get to play the game. So you can actually get into this game for $29.99 right now. Like, if you decided as soon as you hear this podcast, you're like, oh, you know, I want to try this game. $30 and you're into the game. So just say.
Just like that, huh?
Just like that, man. And then, of course, they have an upgraded package that's $50, and it gets you, like, you know, a mount and some extra stuff for, like, a home and stuff inside the game and some guest passes. So, yeah. Yeah, definitely at least worth trying. So,
you know, you said that game was from South Korea. It reminds me of a game I played probably back in 2003 or 4 called Ragnarok Online.
Ragnarok Online. I think I've heard of that.
The game, the graphics, I mean, I was pretty impressed with the graphics at the time because it kind of looked like it's an MMO. It was free to play. I think it was free to play for a long time. Then they started charging for it, and I think people stopped playing it, and then they just made it free again. But the graphics made it look like it was like Final Fantasy Tactics style. I don't know if you know what I'm like. What I mean by that, but it's like a 3D world, but the sprites are all animated like cartoon character looking sprites.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was a really awesome game from South Korea. So they crank out some good games. So I'm sure Black Desert's going to be pretty awesome.
It is. It has impressed me so far. So it's a. Of course, now I'll go ahead and say I've only made it to level 10, so I can't give you too much insight about how things are. And I made it to level 10 on one character. So
now, where can you get it at? Can you get it on Steam? Or?
I don't think it's available on Steam, but you can purchase it at blackdesertonline.com. And then there's a giant order button. So definitely, this is one I'm definitely going to advise people to try out. So, and you get a guest pass, a 7-day guest pass for the $29.99. So you don't have to be alone when you try it out. Just saying.
Yeah. Looks like also for $49.99, you get, it's called the Explorers package. You get extra content.
Right. Yeah. And that's what I was talking about. You get like a horse and.
Oh, okay. So that's the same thing that you got.
I actually got a package that was higher than that one. That was $100 and that was only available for pre-purchase. So,
okay, yeah, because you did the whole. Oh, what's this? In-game cash?
I think one of them comes with some in-game currency.
So this isn't gonna be one of those games where like you can't, like you can get the in-game cash, but it's gonna take you forever to save up a million rupees or whatever the hell you want to call it to get that sword that you need, unless you go out and pay the actual cash for it, is it?
I am unable to provide that insight at this moment, so I don't know for sure. I don't know. But,
because those type of games make me mad.
Yeah, maybe I can provide another review later on in the year or something like that, whenever I've had know the ins and outs of the game.
Your fans want to know, man.
We all want to know. So, speaking of MMOs, The Division comes out on March 8th. I'm excited about this. It will already be out by the time this podcast is published to the interwebs.
Now, The Division is the one that's kind of like Payday, right?
No, not really.
This is the one that they showed during E3 where like the people were like talking to each other and do we go attack that group or should we help them? And then like the group turned on them and
maybe. Yeah. It's set in New York in this dystopia version of America.
Yeah, it's that game.
Where there was some kind of virus that killed a bunch of people, and so there's a very small population left, and society's been degraded, and
damn viruses.
Yep, of course. And so, I mean, this game's had a lot of talk lately, especially with the betas that's been available for it. It's highly interesting to me. I actually went ahead and decided to purchase the pre-order the deluxe edition with the season pass. I know how you don't like season passes. but again, this is an MMO that's set in a third person style, a third person shooter style, where you're in New York and although we did mention on a previous podcast that they have taken out a lot of the map that was originally available to this game. So it will be a little bit... I still expect the game to be pretty good, but we're not going to be getting as much as we were particularly promised when the game was announced. So
that's crazy.
Yeah. Right, so, yeah, that's coming out on March 8th, which will be a couple of days before right now, if you're listening to this on Thursday.
Now, you know my hatred for pre-purchasing video games, and I know we're going to discuss this here in a little
bit. You've been bitten.
What made you pre-purchase this game?
This is one that I've been excited about for a very long time, since it was first announced. In E3, I don't know what year. This kind of actually reminds me of Watch Dogs. Did you ever play Watch Dogs?
No, I have not played Watch Dogs.
So
I've heard about it, but I never played it.
I mean, Watch Dogs was announced like 2 or 3 years before the game was actually finally released. And it looked beautiful. There was so much hype and excitement built up around the game before it was actually released. And then when it actually got released, it bombed so hard. There's still a lot of parts of Watch Dogs that was still really fun. One of the biggest issues that came out that was difficult to work with right out of the bat was the fact that they had some lagging and stuttering issues when the game was first released.
Yeah, I remember you were telling me you were couldn't stream it in full 1080p or something like that.
Yeah, I couldn't play it on my computer. Okay, let's just say streaming aside, because streaming adds another level of stress to your computer. Streaming aside, like, let's just say playing the game alone with all the settings turned up made my computer bend to its knees. And my computer is not something to be taken lightly, okay? I literally have a 6-core proc with hyper-threading, bringing me up to 12 threads, and 16 gigs of DDR4 RAM. So it's not exactly... I'm just saying, it's not a pushover.
And if you can, why don't you brag about it?
I'm just saying, if you can bring that computer to its knees, how the hell did you even get it through? Like, how did you release it to the public? And I think it may have been a case where they, it was originally developed on the consoles, and then they decided to port it over to the PC, and it just bombed hard, exactly like Batman Arkham Knight. Unbelievable.
Another game I pre-ordered.
Did you ever meet it?
No, actually, I haven't.
I never did either.
I kind of just gave up on it.
It's really weird. Like, I don't know. That's the first Batman game I didn't complete. I completed the first three, and I didn't even enjoy Origins. Actually, I think Origins I disliked more than Arkham Knight.
I stopped playing Origins because it was so damn buggy. Remember I was telling you, like, that one bug, like, I beat this mission and you had to go back to this trash can or whatever it was to pick up some clue, and the clue wasn't there. And, like, wow. I saved my game and restarted the game and, like, tried to boot back up, and the clue still wasn't there. And I was like, are you freaking kidding me? And I was getting pissed. And, like, there was a patch that came out to fix some of those bugs, but I was like, I'm not playing this crap.
I do want to actually finish that game someday. I just not sure if I'm going to do it. I think I could do it this year. Maybe.
Arkham Knight, I mean, I'm close. I just need to just crack down and finish it.
Well, the thing for me is the side missions. Like I actually want to do the side missions in that one. I never did the side missions in the first three.
I did the side missions in the first two, and, you know, they were always awesome. Especially the second game, because, like, you got to see, like, Azrael and Hush and things like that. And I was like, oh, yeah. So, you know, I was like, the side missions in part three have to be awesome, but we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, some of them are actually pretty cool, but it's an old game, so we'll leave it for maybe another podcast or something. At this point, it's an old game. It's kind of weird. That's definitely another game that I was really looking forward to, and it just didn't really fill up my dreams when it came out.
Bought the season pass.
You bought the season pass late, too. So. I never even did the Harley Quinn add-on, dude. I love Harley Quinn.
Yeah, there was like five add-ons. There was Nightwing, Harley Quinn, Robin, Catwoman.
Man. And I'm not crazy about Catwoman, but I like the way that her character plays in that game, so.
You like the way her character plays, huh?
Well, it's like I don't know if it was in the latest one that came out or if it was in maybe the one before, but where she would when so the game is known for its really fluid fighting, right? So you like mm-hmm. basically spam X and then eventually you press Y whenever you see somebody's about to attack you. But there was one part where she would grab somebody, she would lift her leg and kick them in the face, and then she'd lean back and kiss them. It was really weird, but it was really kind of cool at the same time. So it was interesting. So
yes, she was always a fun part of the second game. I mean, I liked playing her missions. Her missions were pretty cool. And I haven't really used her in the game except for the puzzles, the Riddler puzzles. Oh my god.
I am pretty tired of those. I think I'm just going to give up on those. Actually, no. I think I completed all the puzzles, and now I'm at some part where I have to do something in some part of the town that was locked, and then I just unlocked that part of the town. So.
And you unlocked a whole slew new of Riddler puzzles.
Yeah, I don't know. I just haven't played it since then, so.
Hashtag be the Batmobile.
was such an accurate description when you first said it.
Fun times.
Yes.
But the only other game that I know that has come out that I forgot that it actually came out as of today, the day of we're recording this, March 4th, is
Zelda.
Legend of Zelda the Twilight Princess HD Remake.
HD Remake.
Or I guess it's just called HD or whatever.
What did Twilight Princess originally come out on?
It came out on the Wii.
It came out on the Wii? The first Wii.
It originally came out, it was originally made for the GameCube, and it came out simultaneously on GameCube and the Wii, so it was like a launch title for the Wii. I'm sorry, is Twilight Princess? Yes, Twilight Princess. Twilight Princess? Now you got me questioning myself. Yes, Twilight Princess was the one that was...
that library of games that you got there.
I had to think about it for a second. Twilight Princess was the one that was released simultaneously on the Wii and the GameCube. So yeah, it came out, you know, pretty much at launch for the Wii. So they just kind of gave it the graphical overhaul, boosted up to 1080p, and bam, there it is. Kind of like the same thing they did with Wind Waker last year. So... it's going to be one of those titles that, you know, even though I already have the other two copies, I'm going to go ahead and pick that one up as well and own that one.
Dope. What was I going to say? The new one. Has that actually been confirmed to come out on the NX or...
They said it's a Wii U title. I don't know.
So I guess there's still a bunch of mystery surrounding that game.
Yeah, so we're going to find out E3 this year what's going on with the NX. Reggie last year said that, you know, they weren't going to discuss the NX until this year.
So. You think we're going to get an official name?
Yeah, we'll probably get a name. We'll probably get to see what this freaking thing looks like, and it will probably be released November this year, if I was to venture a guess, because that's usually...
Really? You think it's going to release this year?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's going to drop. And usually Nintendo systems drop around the November timeline, so...
All right, everybody. Daniel's calling now. You heard it here first.
Yep.
The Nintendo something will be released this November.
Yep, it'll be ready for holiday season. With the new Zelda game.
That's right. So the new console's coming out and Zelda, same day. Be prepared.
But I have to say that that's still faster than Kingdom Hearts 3.
Kingdom Hearts 3. I think Kingdom Hearts 3 has the is following the same timeline as like Final Fantasy 15, you know, because like it's like, is Final Fantasy 15 actually coming out ever?
They claim this year, so we'll see.
Yeah, I mean, they've been claiming this year for like the last 3 years.
There was this meme I saw this week that like summed up Kingdom Hearts perfectly. So it had three pictures.
Mm-hmm.
First picture was of a little kid playing, and it said, me playing Kingdom Hearts 1. And then there was another picture, middle picture, that had like a young adult guy, someone, you know, like our age, me playing Kingdom Hearts 2. And then like the very bottom, it had this old man playing a video game. And it said, me playing Kingdom Hearts 3. I was dying. Oh,
that's amazing.
I was like, that is so accurate.
It really is. Wow. So I'm sure everybody is going to be like, shame on you for me even admitting this out loud. But I have never played Kingdom Hearts.
Shame on you.
I know.
The first two were such great games. I have all the side missions, all the little side stories that came out, and I've only played a couple of them.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Dream Drop Distance was actually one that I was determined I was going to play, and I just got tired of playing it on the handheld.
Well, you know, I would probably try it if it was available on Steam, but, you know.
It's, Dream Drop Distance will be released on the Kingdom Hearts 2.8 disc that's coming out for PS4. You know how they released the Kingdom Hearts, was it 1.2 and 2.2 remixes, right, or whatever they're called?
Yep.
Where it has all the handheld games and everything included on them.
Right.
So the last one's going to be called 2.8. It's coming out for the Xbox. It's coming out for the PS4, and it's supposed to come with Dream Drop Distance and some cell phone game that has come out, and then like a mini movie that's supposed to lead right into Kingdom Hearts 3.
Well, if they release it on the PS4, then or Xbox One, since I have that too, I will, I'll buy it. It's saying it right now. You heard it here first.
Yeah, I'll probably play Dream Drop Distance finally when I finally get that game, so that way I can actually say I finished that game. Because it was something different. It actually took place after Kingdom Hearts 2, and it was actually continuing the story a little bit. So, and it was supposed to lead right into Kingdom Hearts 3. So I was actually kind of excited to play that.
Kingdom Hearts. Apparently, I've been missing out.
You have been missing out. It's pretty awesome. If you like Final Fantasy and you love Disney, who would have thought those two things go together so well? A bunch of emo kids running around and over baggy clothing and Disney characters.
I just really want to see some Nightmare Before Christmas parts. And Nightmare Before Christmas is like my favorite movie from childhood. So,
yep, that was in the first game. The Oogie Boogie stage was amazing.
Nice. Actually, I think I heard that they came out with like a full release of a Nightmare Before Christmas game.
It's possible.
I don't know for sure though, but I never played it, so. Yeah. So, let's get to the topic at hand. We still got some time. Microtransactions. I hear you want to vent on this.
So, okay.
Microtransactions, season passes. Let's get to the bottom of it right now.
Pre-ordering games.
Start talking some shit.
Okay. So, we all picked up Star Wars Battlefront. It was a game we were excited about playing. A lot of people pre-ordered that game. The game came out, and let's just be honest, it was basically a beta.
Yeah. at most, it was a beta that we paid $60 for.
Didn't come with a single-player campaign.
Nope.
It was not balanced properly. Very few stages.
Terrible spawning.
Horrible spawning.
Mm-hmm.
I watched a video the other day of this guy. He was standing in this one spawn point for the enemy team.
Mm-hmm.
And the players would spawn. Their backs would be to him. And he would just shoot him in the head and kill him as they were spawning.
Unbelievable, dude.
It's just the game was bad.
I have not played it since the 24-hour gaming marathon.
I've played it one or two times after that. They've released some new content. I haven't played any of the new content.
Yeah, me either.
They've actually released two new content packets, I believe. They're planning on giving away some more free content. That's frustration number one. So people pre-ordered a game. You gave a company a bunch of money for this game, and they released garbage.
Yeah.
And then, on top of that, you spent an extra $10 to unlock three items in a game that you could have just gotten by playing the game. They don't tell you that until you figure that out later. Then, on top of that, they're like, hey, buy this season pass. And so far, it seems like the season pass is just, here's an extra stage, and here's a skin for Princess Leia, or here's a skin for Luke and Han.
Yeah. Has any of the expansions officially come out, or?
Yes, the first expansion has officially come out.
Okay, and it has nothing to do with campaigns, though.
No, it's just an extra stage.
Maps and
I think they added a weapon or two, and a skin for Princess Leia.
I wonder if any of those weapons that got released were better than the DL-44.
I don't know. And like I said, I haven't played any of the new content yet, so I can't even speak on, you know, what actually came out. I just know for sure that there was an extra Hoth stage and a new skin. And that was just to give Princess Leia matching skins that Han and Luke got, you know, a month prior.
Yeah.
So, you know, you paid over $120 for basically a game that should never even have been released. If this game came out 10 years ago, you know, first of all, the game would only have cost like $40, and and, you know, the publisher wouldn't have released that crap. They would have released a complete game, and, you know, the fans would have gotten what they wanted. Just, I don't know. I mean, that's point number one. I bought Street Fighter. Now, I had no intention on picking up the season pass,
which EA had nothing to do with, right?
Correct. It's Capcom. So I had no intentions on picking up the season pass because I know what characters are coming out, and I figured if I really wanted to get the characters, I heard that they were going to do this Capcom in-game currency where you can actually play through the game and eventually you can unlock characters. Well, when I was picking up the game, the lady at GameStop was like, and I hadn't done any research on the game, mind you. I haven't done any research. I just knew the game was coming out. I didn't do any other research other than the release date. So this was pretty much my fault, but the girl at GameStop was like, you need to buy the season pass. And I'm like, well, why? Well, she goes, when you get home, you'll be able to put the season pass in, and you'll unlock 8 characters right off the bat. And I go, okay, well, I don't need those characters. I mean, I'm going to be able to get them in the game. She's like, no, these are exclusive to the season pass. You're not going to be able to get these characters without the season pass. And I'm like, so you're saying I'm not going to be able to get 8 characters that's in the game unless I buy season pass? She was like, correct. So, you know, I was like, well, shit, I don't want to miss out on any characters, so I bought Season Pass. Well, I get home and found out that if I would have just played the game, that these characters unlock.
Wow.
So, store clerks are not informed on what they're selling, or they're lying to their customers so they can get them to buy these Season Passes because they probably make some sort of profit
right off
of
it. And that's my problem with specifically GameStop, and that's the reason why I'm buying my games from my console games from Best Buy. Is GameStop actually does provide a what's the word where they a commission off of certain types of sales that they make, and I think DLCs are actually part of that.
It's ridiculous. Third thing that I've discovered, Mortal Kombat X came out what, 2 years ago, a year ago,
something like that. Maybe two. It's been a while.
And when it came out, I think it was last year. When it came out with a season pass, which I happily paid for because we got a really good deal on it. I think it was free or $10 or something like that.
Oh, right. Yeah, we got a discount from Target, right?
Yeah, we got a good deal on it, so that's why I picked it up. And it was a good season pass. It actually came out with, you know, a character every month, some pretty awesome characters.
Really awesome characters, yes.
Quite excited, okay? Well, they're coming out with season 2. And you get to add some more characters to the game. I think I wrote an article about what I'm venting about right now. I think I said $24.95 or whatever, but the season pass is actually only going to be like
$19.99.
Or no, I'm sorry, it's going to be $24.99. I think I said it was supposed to be $40 or whatever So whatever. But so here's where I'm pissed off at.
Okay.
If I want to get these additional characters, I got to pay another $20-$30 to get these other characters, right? Had I waited and not bought the game at all or any season passes, I could have bought Mortal Kombat XL, which is going to be released here in the next couple months, and got all of it.
All right. Well, so this is a disclaimer that I think that should be widely known to anybody who's buying DLCs and season passes in general. If you're going to buy a season pass, know that there is absolutely going to be some other way to get the DLC that you're trying to get out of that season pass. And the real purpose of buying the season pass is to get that DLC immediately. So if you really like this game, you absolutely are sure that you're going to be putting in your time with whatever game you're buying the season pass for, then go ahead for it. This is just me, okay?
But here's my complaint, Marcus.
Right.
Mortal Kombat XL is coming out. It's going to be $59.99. It comes with Seasons 1 and 2.
Yeah.
Right? So if they're getting Seasons 1 and 2 for the price of $59.99, why can't we get the people that bought the first game and the first season pass get Season 2 for free?
I think it's really just the timing. It's sort of like you're paying for convenience.
They're punishing. Well, the season two does not come out until XL comes out, so they get released simultaneously. So you're not getting anything early,
right?
So basically, you're punishing your early adopters, which is basically what you are, because you bought the game when it came out. And they're basically saying, "Hey, guys, thanks for waiting a year and not spending a bunch of money on my game. Here's the complete game for half the price that these early adopters had to pay."
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of spitting in a gamer's face.
Well, I mean, I think what definitely spits in a gamer's face completely is what's the other fighting game that has like Combo Breaker? What is that?
Killer Instinct.
Killer Instinct, right? So Killer Instinct Season 1 completely was released for free with Games for Gold Live. So I actually really feel bad for anybody who, you know, bought KI Season 1 and any of the characters that came out for it, because, you know, we got it completely for free with Games with Gold Live. So
I did. I didn't get Season 2 yet. I did buy Season 1. But the thing with Games with Gold,
you have to have an active.
You have to have an active account. So
unless it's for 360.
So those are that type of promotion or whatnot, I don't have problems with, because, you know, it's them trying to get people to buy their monthly subscription. So that part doesn't bother me. It's the part where and that's not from the developer. I guess it is technically, since Rare is owned by Microsoft now. But it's the people like Capcom and Midway and EA that just give me all your money. We're going to release crap.
Yeah. I'm sorry, I don't really like to just bash companies, but EA is on that ship. They know that they're going to release something that you want to play, and you're going to pay whatever money that they want to set for it.
And well, I am vowing right now. I know I said this last time. In front of the world, that I am no longer pre-ordering or buying any season passes. And I'm probably not even going to buy a game unless it's like a Nintendo game when it first comes out. I'm probably going to wait. Like The Division, I'm going to wait, because I know there's going to be a Gold Pass box that's going to come up and have everything.
You know, Mortal Kombat XL came out a year after the game, so you really have to be putting in some time.
I'm just going to wait. I got a couple thousand games over here that I can play while I'm waiting.
You do. That's true. I can't believe that. Well, we're starting to run a bit late. So, is there anything else you want to specifically mention before we call it a day?
Shut up and take my money.
That's exactly what I told the division. I'll let everybody know how much of a bad mistake that was in the next podcast. All right. Well, I think that's going to wrap up this episode. Daniel, thank you for joining me on this topic. It's been a
pleasure.
Thank
you for listening to me.
thank you everybody else for listening. Stay tuned to thetempleofgeek.com for the next all new episode of Knights of the Game Table, along with the Todcast, Lockstock and Two Gaming Dudes. There's also
Lockstock and Two Smoking Hot Bears, yeah.
Cosplay Connection. Thank you from both of us, and thank you for listening.
Please follow us on Twitter at Temple of Geek. Follow us on Facebook at facebook.com/Temple of Geek. And remember to visit thetempleofgeek.com, your one stop for all things geek. Congratulations! This story is a happy ending. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm totally adding that to the end, by the way.